I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to The Things We Do For Love. I'm Izzy Sutty, your host, and this episode I'm joined by the brilliant Bridget Christie, who I've been good friends with for years and years. And we recorded this live. This is the first live one of this series at King's Place in London as part of the London Podcast Festival on the 26th of September 2020. And that was in the middle of two lockdowns, and it was really odd to be out of the house and to be in front of an audience. We hadn't performed in front of an audience for months, and Bridget had come on the tube. The producer and I were acting as if she'd come on a rocket, on a private jet or something, and that we were like, what was it like? Ugh, did you eat snacks? Was anyone else on there? And everyone was kind of getting used to the socially distanced seating and being out of the house. And so it was odd, but great. And I'm sure you will have heard of Bridget, but she is an absolutely fantastic comic who manages to combine issues she feels extremely passionately about with just being very, very silly, which is extremely hard to do. I love her very much. So I hope you enjoy our chat. This is The Things We Do For Love with Bridget Christie. Hello and welcome to The Things We Do For Love. The things we do for love. The things we do for love. This week, I'm joined by
Bridget Christie.
Her favourite mode of transport is
a unicycle.
I suppose that is a mode of transport, isn't it? I don't think of it as something that gets you from A to B. Would you really use it to get to, like, the station if you were running late?
I live in Stoke Newington, and somebody uses one there.
Of course they do. It's Stoke Newington. Amazing. Her favourite ever ferry journey is...
Well, none of them, because I get seasick.
The things we do for love. Welcome. Have you been on a ferry, though?
Yes, lots.
Oh, but you don't like it.
I have to lie down. Well, I should get ginger and eat loads of ginger and look at the horizon, but I always forget, and then I always end up getting sick and lying on the floor.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you still do it.
I get car sick, seasick. I get sick quite a lot.
Do you get sick in lifts? Or is that that's a short enough journey that it doesn't...
I don't like going in lifts. Oh, the lift here... Did you notice the sign on the floor?
No.
Well, so you know you go in and there's the mirror. Well, it's got some feet pointing the other way and it says face this way. So I wasn't allowed to look at myself or anything. Well, I could have if I was like a libertarian or something.
Or an owl.
Yeah. Or a ballerina.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to The Things We Do For Love, the podcast about the things we do for love and lifts. It might be the time you sent 100 red roses to yourself at your workplace on Valentine's Day so that you could show them to the guy you fancied who sat on a desk nearby and go, oh my God, this is always happening. I haven't done that. Or it might be the time you ate approximately 20 live ants to try and impress a boy during the interval of the musical Grease.
What, who did that?
I did that.
Sorry.
Has anyone else done that?
Live ants.
Yeah, so we were in Greece, the musical. We all fancied it. You know, there's like one boy at school who everyone fancies. Did you have that?
No.
Oh, okay.
There wasn't really anyone...
Well, if he'd gone to your school, it would have changed the whole vibe, believe me. Right, but he was Highfield. Well, in the interval, my friend fancied him as well. And I don't know how it started. I mean, this is awful, really, isn't it? But we to eat these, for sure. These strange little insects that were crawling around on this leaf. We just started to eat them and we would have a contest to see who could eat the most.
But was he watching?
Yeah.
And did he say, oh, go on, eat those ants?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And then what was the payoff then? What was the deal?
It was hinted that one of us would get to go on a date with him, but then it didn't materialise. And I ate the most. And it never happened. We just went and did the second half of Greece.
I wonder what he's making people eat now. No, because they always start off, don't they, like murderers, like stuffing squirrels and stuff. And then they...
Yeah, and that then... Ian... Who's the guy? Is it what? Ian... Oh, I think it's I-A-I-N... A writer called Ian something. Does anyone know who I mean?
He wrote... Sinclair.
No, it's not Ian M. Banks. Not Rankin. I'm like this, though. I think Ian Rankin hasn't got the extra I. I think that's just I-A-N.
Ian...
Oh, my God. He wrote this...
Who?
Not Ian Duncan Smith. No, no. this Ian, he writes a lot about... I can't believe I can't remember his surname. Because also once I did a gig to promote my book tour, a book tour gig, and I'd finished his book on the journey there. So I signed it in my left hand and put Love Ian, spelled L-U-V, and gave it away. But he's a very serious writer. Anyway.
He didn't write The Wasp Factory.
The Wasp Factory.
It's Ian
Banks.
Right,
oh, right, it's Ian Banks. Yeah, well, isn't Ian Banks and Ian M. Banks the same person? But he puts the M in for... Okay, this is a good crowd, isn't it? This,
yes.
I feel like we should ask another literary question.
We should do.
Yeah, okay.
Should just be that.
Yeah, yeah, screw love. It's these odd times. Okay, who wrote The Magus? Yeah. This is great. Why is no one doing this as a podcast?
Who wrote Perfume? Yes. Isn't this so much fun?
Yeah.
Can't think of any other books.
Yeah, I can't. I can only think of Shakespeare books.
What are they?
Yeah. who wrote Sharon Osbourne's autobiography?
It's a good
Probably,
one.
I don't know. Yeah. why does he put the M in to sort of seem more serious or something? Yeah, but what does M stand for in sci-fi? It's just, yeah, you know, it's a sci-fi book, but I wonder why, or maybe M is what his middle name begins with.
Matthew.
Yeah.
Michael.
Michael. Anyone know his middle name? See, you're not as clever as you thought, are you? Yes, I did do the insect eating thing. I used to just do stuff like that. A, I liked to do things like for a laugh. You know, if someone said... do that, like I jumped off a bridge for a bet and stuff because someone said jump. I know. So A, I was a bit like that anyway, and B, if there was a boy that I fancied involved, I think I thought it was like a test, or like it would make me look cool, I suppose. But I don't imagine you being like that.
Isn't that funny? Because I'm not. I'm really am I sensible? I mean, I don't think I'd do something for a boy that I was not... I've done things for family. I remember my sister coming home for the weekend and I thought you should steal some things for them. That would be nice to give them a present. So I did and got caught.
Why did you steal them? Because you didn't have any money?
Yeah.
And well, what did you steal? I'm imagining makeup. Like Body Shop for some reason.
No, I'm nearly 50, so... It was Woolworths, makeup in Woolworths. I thought, this is really easy. I'm just able to put all this stuff in my pocket. And then a massive man came and put me in a small cupboard.
Did he wait till you'd left the store? Because that's always...
So this was... I was 10, and I can remember everything about what he looked like. He looked exactly like Arthur Miller.
Did he?
I didn't know what Arthur Miller looked like then, but I've subsequently.
But you can't read The Crucible because it reminds you of that.
Of that man. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And then the police came. I thought, oh, this is a bit much for a child. And then I went to the police station and I had to take my shoes and socks off and stuff. And I thought, because my parents were really strict as well, I thought, I'm literally going to die. And my dad came into the cell and just sort of laughed a bit.
Into the cell?
I was put in a cell on my own.
Oh, my God. I feel like this wouldn't happen now.
But I wouldn't have done that for a boy. Or a girl.
You did it for your family?
For my sisters, yeah. I thought, oh, they'd really like this mascara.
Do you think in retrospect that just putting it into your pockets was a bad idea?
I didn't give it any thought at all.
You see, I think I, at 10, would have been so scared about getting caught that I would have... I don't know, practice different ways of putting it into long sleeves or...
I wouldn't have harmed something for somebody else, but I thought this is a big shop with all stuff, so it's not going to be affecting anyone directly. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know
Even
what you mean.
Even though it was sort of morally wrong to steal, I suppose it felt like
yeah,
I'm
a big...
stealing from a shop.
Yeah, of course.
That like, seems different.
I hope Sainsbury's aren't watching this. Someone from Sainsbury's watches every podcast to discover if someone's ever stolen from Sainsbury's. But the other day, you know, at the moment, like things are a bit weird. I went into Sainsbury's and I've got this app, so you don't have to scan stuff at the end. You scan it with the app and you put it straight in your bag. Yeah. And then I walked out with a piece of ginger that I had had to weigh at the tills, but I hadn't wanted to touch anything. And then as I walked out, I remembered I had the piece of ginger. I just carried on walking.
I think ginger should be free to everyone in the world. That's
yeah,
what I think.
Me too.
We should just be allowed to have ginger, I think.
Yeah, it should be a right.
And other strange-looking sort of root.
It was strange-looking, and it was quite a big bit, and it looked like a man, and I drew a face on it in biro. It looked like
so
a walking man.
So you've defaced their property.
I've stolen and then defaced it.
I do know a little bit about this because I used to, a few years ago, deface like lads mags and stuff
yes,
like that.
Yes, you did.
Yeah, and I used to get all of them off a shelf or in a petrol station or something. Like every single one. And not in a suspicious way because I thought I'll just do it as if I've been sent from somewhere and I'm doing
like
it's
a stock an official...
check. Yeah, exactly. So I'll just do it in quite an open way. And I used to do it everywhere I went and take them into the toilet and rip them up and put them in bins or put honey on them and stuff so that they can't be resold.
You know, right, got it, yeah.
Sticks. But it's such a tiny thing. But I just used to think, oh, yeah, yeah.
Did anyone give you any hassle for it?
No, not once. I was in a Costa coffee once and there was two policemen behind me. And then I asked, because I'm a very sociable person, I said, hello. Hey, I've got a question for you guys. If I moved something in a shop that then customers couldn't see, is that theft? And they said yes.
Did they?
Yeah. But I said, well, how is it theft if I've just moved it? And they said, because you've prevented a sale.
Oh, that's interesting. So theft isn't just you taking it, it's the prevention of someone else from buying it.
I don't think they knew. I think they just said that because that doesn't sound right.
Does anyone here work in like consumer? Oh, shall we wait for the mic to come to you? Yes. Okay, great. Don't touch the mic or we'll all get kicked out.
Well, under Section 1(1) of the Theft Act, the definition is the dishonest appropriation of property with the intention to permanently deprive. So if you dishonestly took it and you meant for them to never be able to get it back, then it is theft regardless of where you put it.
Oh, yes.
So, sorry, what's your job?
I used to be a lawyer.
Oh, I feel like I should ask another question now. Can I talk about the fact that I've done jury service on a podcast?
If the trial's been published, then yes, it's in
yeah,
the public
it has.
Domain.
Yeah. So when I did jury service, I went to get my lunch at Pret. At lunchtime, and I saw the defendant next to me at the traffic lights. Is that allowed?
I'm just going to say I was a tax lawyer, so I'm not sure.
You're a tax lawyer? Okay. No, that wasn't a tax case.
You know the ginger thing?
Yeah, what's... Is that okay?
There was no dishonesty there. So you had the actus reus, the act, but you didn't have the mens rea, i.e. the intention, so it's not theft.
Sorry, what was that?
Because I didn't have the intention, it wasn't theft. So if you walked out of a shop and you forgot that you were supposed to pay, then it wasn't theft?
Technically, and then there's the argument that though when you know that you've done it and you don't go back, technically you've committed theft at that point, but hey-ho.
So with my makeup for my sisters, should I have said to Arthur Miller, oh, I have absolutely no memory of doing that? Because I have got a very bad memory. Like, genuinely, I think it's because
that's more the insanity defence, isn't it? So,
well, I don't. I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, you take a hit for the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God, that's really interesting. Thank you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have you ever received a Valentine's card from anyone and not known, genuinely not known who it was from?
There was a man that I met about twice, and he had a piano delivered to where I used to work. And reception called up, and I said, I know who that is, tell him that I don't want it. And he'll just have to take it away.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
a piano.
Oh God, it's so weird. Do you know, I don't really remember a lot about the past, but when you talk to someone, you remember all these things, don't you? Like, if you'd not asked that, I would never in a million years have remembered that.
Yeah, you wouldn't have been walking along thinking, oh yeah, that piano.
Yeah, so went to a party. This is the timeline. Went to a party, met this guy who was really intense. I thought, oh, he's a bit of an eccentric. Said he played the piano. I said, oh, I used to play, but then gave up when I was about 13. And then he was a little bit stalky, so I didn't see him again, but he knew where I worked. And then he kept having things sort of delivered to reception, and I'd have to say, I'm sorry.
So what did it... Was it a bit like the ant thing graduating onto... Oh, the reason I was talking about Ian M. Banks, without the M in this case, is the Wasp Factory. Has anyone read the Wasp Factory? Mm. That starts off with quite an innocuous thing, torturing a wasp, because it's called the Wasp Factory. But I feel like that's the thing, isn't it? They start with... Yeah. He starts by making us eat ants, then by the end he's making us eat like elephants. So with the piano, what were the first presents?
There weren't any. It was just that.
Oh.
He went from zero to a million. I was like, because I was thinking, oh, what else did we talk about? What else is going to turn up?
Yeah, but if the piano is the starting point, what's the next thing going to be? Like a house?
No, but also I think if you don't like someone, you don't like someone, right? And you've got to be honest, it doesn't matter what they give you, you can't have it because there's no such thing as a free grand piano.
Well, it's essentially stealing, isn't it?
It is. It's being dishonest, I think. I think taking something from someone when you have no intention of entering into some kind of deal is dishonest, and however much you might like that thing, it's like,
yeah,
no.
I know what you mean. I went on a blind date near Stoke Newington once, and you know when you just know immediately when you see someone that they probably feel the same about you, I don't know, but we sort of went through the motions of, but I didn't want him to pay for anything because I felt like I just didn't want, do you know what I mean? Mm. For him to buy me something and then me feel that I...
Oh, not had to give something anyway, in return.
No, yeah. I know, but I think it's so fragile when you go on a date anyway, isn't it? And then you've got this undercurrent of who's going to pay. And
I don't think I'm a cold person. I mean, I really love people a lot.
Yeah, you do.
But I think the best thing that you can do with people is to be honest with them. I think it's the most respect you can show somebody. And my sister said to me, she heard me talking to a guy on the phone once, and she thought that I was ordering a pizza, but I was actually... finishing the relationship. Because it was like, this was really great and that was really great, but it isn't going to, you know, and this is why. I don't think it's
like a really kind of a pragmatic...
Very pragmatic.
Summary
yes.
of where they went wrong. No.
Well, yeah. It was actually what you ordered, mate, to be honest. No. But someone came to pick me up once and I said, it's not going to work out.
What do you mean pick you up?
To
not
go,
a taxi?
To go on a second
Oh, right,
date.
Okay. Yeah. And you just, as soon as you saw him,
yeah,
yeah, I know what you
he
mean.
He was so different to the first time that we'd, yeah, like in every way. I sort of, the person who came to the door was 100% in every way different to the person that I had previously. Isn't that so odd?
Yeah.
Like his entire image was different and his personality.
But it might also be... that subconsciously you'd thought between the first and the second date that you weren't sure, but you hadn't realised it yet.
Or I'd remembered him differently.
Yeah, that could be it. Or
either way, it would have been a waste of both of our evenings.
So how did you tell him? Did you just say, sorry, I just don't feel that this is going to work out, therefore there's no point? Really?
Yeah.
And then what did he do?
I'm so sorry that you've driven here.
What did he say then?
He went, oh, okay.
I think I'm the opposite. I'm saying in the present tense, you know, I've been the same guy for 10 years, but I don't think I would be able to do that, even though I think it's the right thing to do. I maybe would in a letter,
I think it
but
might
not face to face.
There is a way of doing things that is very nice. I mean, when I say it out loud, you might think that's actually really cruel, but it wasn't, because it wasn't anything. I didn't say... You look, you know, and I didn't
you
lie.
You look awful
no,
compared to how I remember
that,
you.
No, though. It was just something.
No,
it was so fundamentally
it's
different.
Like something that we've got a crack in our hall and Ellis tried to put polyfiller in it last night and succeeded. But he was sort of stuffing it in like icing. Anyway, I don't really know much about DIY, but he said, look at these two bits of the wall, and one of them was a little bit more forward than the other bit. Like it had moved slightly. And I feel that that sometimes happens between the first and the second date, that something shifts intangibly. Like it's a tiny shift that no one would notice. Yeah. But the effects are quite... It hasn't affected our house. We're trying to sell our house, by the way. So if anyone's watching, it hasn't affected the structure. But as a metaphor...
Did you say that to the person who was coming... to buy your hand. You see this crack?
Yeah.
I feel that it's like... Yeah.
This is a metaphor for relationship. Yeah. No, I didn't know.
Yeah, actually, you know what it is now that I think about it? It was the idea of getting my bag, travelling to the place that we were going to, having some food or a drink, knowing that that was going to be the last time I saw this person, and thinking about going... enthusiastically into this evening, and I felt that that was the wrong thing to do.
But it was false.
Yes, completely false.
Yeah.
And I was very, you know, I was nice to him.
I think this is a very admirable thing, but I think not many people can do that.
Well, I think it's also a very selfish thing.
Well, you mean you also benefited from it because you didn't want to waste the evening? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, there would be... lots of other things that he could do and that I could have done with that evening.
But when you're on a date that isn't going well and you don't feel very into it, you start to think of this amazing amount of things you could be doing, don't you? You're like, oh my God, I'm wasting my time here. I could be roller skating, even though I haven't roller skated since I was about 10.
Or vacuuming
doesn't matter.
Or something.
Yeah, anything. You like yearn to be on your own, sorting through old boxes. Like anything to be away from...
It's brutal, isn't it? But I mean, the whole world has changed so much, though, since I was dating. I cannot even begin to comprehend what modern dating even means.
Oh, God, like, nor me, because I think that the choice of communication is actually makes things very difficult. I can't imagine going on dates or even being at school and fancying someone, you used to ring their landline, didn't you? But now everyone's got mobiles, so even kids, you know, you're texting or you're Snapchat or, yeah.
But I've got, like, older friends or siblings whose, like, profile picture has been done by a pro. And also, I think it's so sad because you can fall in love with somebody that you've got absolutely not a single thing in common with. And if you, you know, by the time you've gone through all the lists of what this person's into, you've removed a whole load of possibilities that we used to enjoy. Yeah. Like, you would just see someone and the smell of them was it, or just something connected you with that person. And I think we've definitely lost that. And also, I think because of how modern dating is, it might seem a really odd way for two people to get together now. Like, okay, well, I need to just quickly look you up. That to me seems really quite sad.
I think with the list of things, it's not really about them, is it? It's just the list of things they like. Sometimes it's quite separate from them.
Yeah.
But and you're not going in from the inside, you're going in from the outside.
Yeah. I also think sometimes something that happened with a previous relationship of mine, which was around sort of millennium 2000, which is that I got the impression that all the photos that he took of our experiences were for other people's benefit.
Yes, yes.
And that was the first time that I ever really thought, because I don't do that now. I mean, I'm not really on social media anyway, but I felt like, oh, we're here. We're at Elvis's house or something, and you're posing for... I thought, God, that's such an odd thing to do, but that's so normal now, isn't it?
It is normal now, yeah.
And you miss so much when you're constantly... Or, like, is that what somebody is into, or are they saying that that's what they're into because they want people to think that they're really into photography or something? It seems a little bit manufactured now, and I'm not sure how much of it is genuine. And
I agree, but then there'll be some people watching and listening who are in their 20s, maybe. Is anyone here in their 20s? Do you feel... Hello. Hi. Do you feel like... So you've grown up with the internet, haven't you? When you hear us talking, do you think that's bullshit and actually it's not manufactured at all?
Do we sound really, really, like, ancient?
No. I'd say that I think there's, like, two different classes of... What are we, millennials?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure. And there'll be some that really connect with, like, the social media hype. Like, we've got a friend who... We went out for someone's birthday and we had to go to Clapham Common to take pictures with her. And she didn't even put them up. But every time she goes somewhere, she needs pictures to document.
She has to have a picture.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's other people who, like, are away from all of it. And I'd like to be part of that group.
Yeah.
Do you agree?
Yeah.
Do you feel the same?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's lucky. Of. Did you put on your profiles that you... You have much more in common with a 50-year-old than a 20. Yeah. Do you feel like it's intrusive? Like if you're in a group of friends and...
And they're on their phone putting the picture on there and...
I just don't like it because I'm always like, I'm going to look worse.
What is it about that you don't like?
It's like putting on a face. So, you know, if someone takes a picture without you knowing and you're like, oh, well... I'm going to look awful in that picture. Or when you look at a picture of a group of you, just to check whether it's okay, you're only going to look at yourself.
That is so
true. And then you're
like,
yeah, I look great. That's a good picture. Put that one up on Facebook or something.
Yeah, so we're losing what people look like, aren't we? And how people behave.
And, yeah, completely.
Yeah.
Because we are anyway, because of filters.
Yeah. Everything is staged. But actually the best photos are the one where you might take of your...
A candid. Yeah.
Where he doesn't know that it's being taken.
Yeah.
And that you've captured, like, the essence of him or...
If you can plan that, that's the best way.
Yeah.
You've got to plan the candids.
Did you meet online?
No.
No. And when you met, did you Google each other? Because we never had that. Like, with the piano guy, Bridget, you might have Googled him and found that he'd been, like, convicted of sending a piano
he
to someone.
He absolutely would have been. Yeah. And, like, it was the same piano.
He knew it'd get rejected, so he just kept... Yeah. Did you Google each other out of interest when you met? Did you, like, put each other's names?
We didn't have to do that. We ended up living together as, like, mutual friend flatmates.
That's such a good way of getting to know someone, isn't it?
Yeah, great. I know all his bad traits now.
Are you in a minority amongst your friends?
I'd say so. Like, as in, like, meeting organically.
As in using devices when you meet up and taking pictures of everything and on social...
Oh, I see. No, I think there is like a 50-50 split.
Really? Do you think yeah. so? Wow. That's so interesting.
Because if you've got one friend who's the social media person, then at least you're being tagged. Does that make sense?
It's so true.
You've got somebody who's doing all the legwork. Yeah.
It's so true. Yeah. You don't have to do any of the work, do you? Yeah. And you know you'll look good in all the photos because it's not in her interest or his.
Oh,
to
you
put...
don't know that.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, yeah.
Okay.
As long as they look fine. But then you just got to hope.
God. I've got photos of me skiing from like, I suppose it was actually during the internet, but none of us were really au fait with it, yeah. where I look horrendous. Like, awful. Like, my face is sunburned. I used to smoke then. There's one of me with a fag hanging out of my mouth. And my cheeks are bright red, and I've got, like, all these double chins, and this fag's hanging out of my mouth.
But that is what, when I think of you, is that... No. Yeah. No, but that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, I think it's a good emotion to have, though. I've seen photos of myself that I just can't believe that that's what I look like. And I think that's quite human, and I think it's good to have that.
It is,
you know,
good, yeah.
I felt... quite ashamed and all these different things that I haven't felt for quite... And I thought I was beyond that, actually, because of my age and stuff, but I'm not. And I really thought about that, because it wasn't that long ago. I was doing a gig, actually, and some photos went up, and I was like... Oh,
from the gig?
From a live... Yeah, live
I
photos.
I think it is... Yeah, it's hard, isn't it? Because you go, yeah. oh... But actually, I think it is good for you.
Yeah.
It feels like it probably is. Like, good for you in the way that
the
exercise is. Yeah.
Yeah. Once you've got out the other side of, wow, fuck, is that okay? That is what I look like. So just be really good at something. Do you know what I mean? It's yeah. that shouldn't be part of. If you're not used to, I always think as well. If I didn't do this job, I probably wouldn't really know what I look like at all.
Yeah. But then people do yeah. because they look at photos of themselves all the time. These millennials probably, except yeah. for these two, probably. Yeah. These millennials, they probably look at photos of themselves all the time. Whereas we don't. We just go, oh, that's what I look like.
Yeah, but they're taking them of themselves.
Yeah,
so they're not seeing photographs of themselves doing a gig where their face is quite animated or their...
Yes, that's true.
You know.
Yeah, they're still, aren't they?
Yeah.
God.
But, you know, we should love our... I mean, I love myself. You know, but it's
yeah,
not
but you,
about
but you
that.
Have to
it's,
take the rough with the smooth,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah. Then if you see a picture that's all right, you go, oh, right, okay. Lighting, then, that's the answer.
Yeah, I know. And it sounds so awful, but as I get older, that is what I do more and
yes,
more.
Getting
like,
older,
oh,
yeah.
it's all about the lighting.
Yeah.
I can't believe I care about this.
No,
when I was
no.
younger, I just used to... You know, I used to see people things about wrinkles. You're like, I won't give a shit about wrinkles. I'm going to be doing my poetry in the street. I do think that if I'd been young when the internet had existed, I would have written such terrible poetry about... how the internet brings out vanity and stuff. Because all the poetry I wrote was about, like, nothing is real and everyone's false. And, yeah, so it would have played right into my hands.
Yeah. You do change as you get older, though. I mean, if I look at photos when I started gigging when I was about 31 or something, they weren't all disgusting. Like, do you know what I mean? There's, but I don't know. It's funny. You shouldn't care, but you just, we're all human, aren't we? And
yeah.
And we do.
And I care, even though I'm now with someone who I feel I'm going to be with forever, I still really care.
Yeah.
Like, I still look at myself. And I've got the same guitar that I've had for ages. And I go, the guitar looks as young as it always did. So, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just think, if we were in the olden days, we wouldn't see photos of ourselves. Unless we were rich and we paid a photographer
to
take.
Then we'd just be standing there like that.
Yeah, but maybe that was their version of looking hot. Because they were like that, weren't they?
What, in real life?
Yeah.
Were they?
I think so.
Well, I think women weren't allowed to have emotions, were they?
Or no, that they wouldn't. I imagine that they would be like,
animated.
Oh, don't open your mouth so wide. Or don't. Like,
I think they said the opposite, didn't they? No.
But I could imagine they'd be like, oh, a lady doesn't shout. Or, do you know what I mean?
Cry or
yeah.
laugh. Or...
I'm sure they did behind the scenes.
Because of their teeth, though, wasn't it? They all had rotten teeth.
But I still think that they probably thought they looked fit in those portraits.
God, isn't it weird thinking about, were the Victorians vain, or as vain as we are now? Or like, was prehistoric man vain? Or was it only when we...
Yeah, before mirrors. I've just realised that they would have had mirrors, so they could know what they looked like. I'd forgotten about mirrors. I thought that you'd what, only be able to see yourself in a photo.
What, Victorian?
Yeah.
Did you...
When was the mirror invented?
Like, long time ago. It was glass, wasn't it?
Yeah, glass and a pond. I'm looking to the lawyer because I feel like she'll... A pond is essentially a mirror. A pond is nature's mirror.
It is?
Yeah. So, in fact, it was invented by God, if you believe in God, or at the beginning of time, wasn't it? So even cavemen and women might have peered at themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And gone, I really need a brush. Yeah. A hairbrush. Let's invent a hairbrush.
I suppose when you haven't got... Like, if the top tier of good-looking people didn't exist... I always think of Cindy Crawford and Bruce Willis, but they are...
Bruce
not,
Willis?
Yeah.
Is that who you think of?
Yeah, if someone asks me who I fancy out of, like, Hollywood stars, I always say... I always think of Bruce Willis, not just always say Bruce Willis, but...
Fancying is different, though.
Yeah, I suppose. Or maybe I wouldn't look to him. So say someone like Brad Pitt, but that's because when we were young... Things like Thelma and Louise were coming out. I'm sure they were younger.
Isn't it weird? Because aesthetic beauty, I don't think, has anything to do with fancying somebody. I've seen people... Actually, there was a woman in France when I was on holiday, and we were sat outside years ago at a little table, and she was walking towards us, and I genuinely felt like a different species to her. I felt like I wasn't made... with the same stuff. And I went, fucking hell, look at this woman. And we all looked at her and we were like... like, we literally couldn't believe it. And she would have been mid-50s or something. And then I said, if she looks like that now, imagine what she looked like when she was... Which is a ridiculous thing to say. But, you know, it was shocking that we're all so different. But I think I've never fancied somebody who was...
regarded as conventionally good looking.
Yes.
And even like at school and stuff, we never. Yeah. So it wasn't like the kind of, I want to say baseball guys, but that's because I've watched a lot of things like Freaks and Geeks. It wasn't like the sports jocks. It was more likely to be, I imagine, a guy with long hair who sits in the corner with like maybe a kitten in the inside of his coat, that, like a weird guy.
This sounds so naff, right? And I kind of hate myself for saying it. But it's just who the person is.
Yeah. But do you think looks play any part in it?
Of course.
And do you think if you'd met someone, you were a teenager, who you got on with like really well, but they were very conventionally good looking and had like short hair and like muscles, that you'd be like,
No, it wouldn't have made any difference to how, if it was the personality that was drawing me to that person... then it doesn't matter. But if it was never going to be the look of somebody that drew me to them. Actually, even if I go right back to being 5 or 6, it never was that.
Okay.
It would be like, what is that boy doing with that bit of fence or something?
There's always stuff like that when
you're...
Why is
there a boy at the top of the lamppost? Yeah. It would be that sort of thing. It would be driven by... What they were doing,
not what they... But don't you think how the soul inhabits the body affects how they... What I mean is, if you had a pair of twins, who only ever come in pairs, and they were completely identical, but they had completely different personalities, how the personality is affects the way someone looks.
Yes, it does. So what's the question?
Don't know.
Would I go out with both of them?
Yeah.
If they have
No,
the same
you wouldn't, because you're saying you're only attracted to personality.
Only attracted to one of them.
But I think what the question was is, if looks don't matter at all,
do matter.
Oh, okay.
I do think you have to be physically attracted to somebody, but that doesn't mean that they have to be aesthetically or tick whatever box. It could be the way they walk or
And you
just
can surprise yourself. Yeah, I agree. It can be an aspect of
or
them.
A hand.
Or a kindness. That I think now I value kindness so much more than I did. I just used to value stuff like, could they write songs or how many bands were they in, you know, when we were at school. It was always song related. And then as I've got older, I think kindness has become something that matters to me so much in every relationship. and that a person can look kind or something about their mannerisms.
That's so interesting. As when my mum was dying, she said quite a few things, but she said to me, make sure if you ever do end up with somebody, make sure that they're kind. That's pretty much the only relationship advice she gave me.
That's
and you don't have to get married or be with anybody at all, ever.
They're the best two pieces of advice ever. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so true.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah.
And that you don't own your children.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and she had 9.
So she knew.
Yeah, yeah. I think that, you know, she was like, they get to a certain age and then they are.
They're their own.
Not yours. Well, they never really are yours anyway, but... Yeah.
But they definitely aren't when they... Yeah, that's...
I can feel mine pulling away from me now. My son, who's 30, he'll be 14 in April, a bit, man. It's something to deal with, you know?
Yeah, I bet.
And because I'm the youngest of 9, my older siblings who had children when I was 11. So I was an auntie at 11.
Wow.
And so they say to me now, it doesn't get easier... But the problems and the worries change. So yeah. When they're little, are they safe? Are they going to smash their head on that? Have they eaten enough? You know, have they had all their jabs or whatever? And then as they get older, it's where are they?
Who are they with? Like,
yeah. My main thing that I want for my... This is the only thing that I think about with them. Is are they happy? That is literally the only thing that I worry about. I don't worry about what jobs they'll do. Where they are, that's the only thing that I'm focused on.
And what do you do if you feel like they aren't? Because I feel like I'm going to be asking you in time, because mine are 5 and nearly 2. And you sort of don't want to force a conversation if you feel like they're unhappy about something. But
the only thing that I've said to them since they were little, and nobody knows how to... If a parent says to you, I'm a great parent, then they're
shit.
Just a
yeah.
Twat.
A liar.
Yeah, a liar. And an idiot, and I hate them. It's like the hardest thing to do, and there's no right or wrong way to do it at all. But the only thing I've been doing with mine since they could understand, really, is you tell me if there's anything, please, bothering me, or I am here. I'm not going to keep asking you how you are, but I'm here. The thought for me that my children didn't tell me about some problem or thing actually tears me apart.
Yeah,
I can't really cope with it at all.
Yeah.
But they won't talk to me, I'm sure. There's not much I can do about that.
Yeah, but you can only say that you're there.
I can only say that I'm here.
We used to have a reciprocal thing, me and Mum, really, and understanding that she could talk to me about stuff as well and I could talk to her.
Yeah.
And then it led to loads of things like, she's a bit of a worrier. She found joss sticks in my room. Do millennials use joss sticks? No, they don't. Probably don't even know what they are. They're like long sticks that you burn that make the room smell nice.
They have... plug-in Ambipure.
Yeah. Yeah. That they take photos of.
Yeah.
So when you burn them, it's loads of grey ash just on this long... You used to get these wooden holders, didn't you, that you
they
stuck...
They drop into. Yeah. Yeah.
And Mum found the sticks and the ash. And I was quite a naughty teenager, actually.
Were you?
I was very naughty, yeah. They always knew where I was, but... That's the thing. I always felt like I could be honest and go, this is who I'm with. This is how much I'm going to drink. This is what I'm going to smoke. I'm going to smoke Marlboro Reds, because that's what I started on when I was 12.
12?
Yeah. And I'm going to drink this, and I'm going to be in the bandstand, and you can come and pick me up at 2 a.m. And then...
At 12?
Maybe 14 for that.
Right, yeah. I was going to say.
So Mum found these joss sticks in my room, and she's never taken any kind of drugs, you know. And was like, this is marijuana, this is drugs. And so she came to me and said, I've found marijuana in your room. And I was like, have you? I haven't got any. And she was like, no. She showed me. And then I said, no, that's joss sticks. And then we had a real laugh about it.
Oh, that's great.
But I think, I know this sounds a bit weird, but she felt able to come to me in the way of like, I'm really worried about this, rather than get, you know, we've found this. Like, she didn't assume it was definitely that. We have this sort of
that's
openness
great.
With each
yeah.
other. Yeah.
That's really great.
Yeah, it was really.
Mine never worried about me. I think because I was pretty much as I am now, because I had 8 older siblings.
Yeah.
I was a very mature child. And I sort of left home very young, like 14, 15. And I was a biker as well at that time. And I've remembered I sort of went to France on a bike when I was 16 and stuff. And I did talk to them about it later, and they said they never worried about me. They only worried that I would be killed in a crash, basically. But they didn't worry that I was going to be doing...
You were going to do... It would be like something would be on your control.
Something beyond my control. Okay. And very streetwise, and I sort of just was, apart from getting done for shoplifting. That wasn't very streetwise, but I should have been able to get away with that.
That wasn't your fault. That was the security guard's fault.
Yes.
That you got caught.
Yeah.
he was too
in the
good
wrong
at his
place
job.
At the wrong time. But yeah, they never worried that I was vulnerable or going to get in with the wrong crowd or something. I think they knew that I was... And I did get in with the wrong crowd, and I had to really fight a lot of them to say, I'm not going to do that or that or that or that or that, but I'm here having a good time. Whatever you say. And I was a child, and they were like, I don't know, 35, 40 or something.
So when you were still sort of in your teens, you were hanging around with...
That yes,
happens quite
still
a lot,
at school,
doesn't it?
Really.
Especially in small towns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hanging around with like the old bikers. But I was like, oh, well, I'm just not going to do that. You know, or but we'll go and have
opposite.
A drink or...
Yeah.
You were the opposite.
Yeah, just do it. Yeah.
You could
well,
be
like
led.
Jumping off the bridge. Like yeah. What happened with that is that we were walking across the main bridge in Matlock. There are two bridges in Matlock. One's got traffic going across it. It wasn't that one. People always think it is. And I'm like, no, that's really high. This one was probably about as high as this balcony. From the rail and the river was the floor. And we were walking across it. And it was the year before SATs started, which you probably didn't have to do, imagine. I was really scared about my maths SAT exam because it determines, I think, what kind of stream you get put into for your GCSEs. So we were walking across the bridge and Erin said, my brother jumped off this the other day and he just swam around and it was really funny. And they said, go on, Izzy, jump off.
I thought you were going to say and it really helped him with his maths.
Yes. And he learned about how rivers work as a result of being...
You know, he got like an A star.
Yeah. And it was raining, you see, and you couldn't see the bottom and it looked really deep. So
oh
they said, go on, Izzy, it'll be fine. It's raining. It'll just be like jumping into like a swimming pool. So I did. It took a bit of time. I sat on top of the rails and then I just jumped. And then I landed with my foot at a complete right angle to my ankle.
God.
So it was, yeah. Also, I had used to dye hair with henna. I don't know if you did. But So I had bright red hair and it all went into my face. And I was like, I'm blind. My eyes are full of blood. And then I realised it was my hair. And it was like such a relief that I could see. I don't know how I thought I'd blinded myself because my head hadn't even gone under the water. Well, so I actually hit the bottom a lot quicker than I thought I would. Because my maths wasn't good enough to know that it had only been raining for an hour.
So
and
did you break your ankle?
I broke my ankle, yeah, my left ankle.
Just
yeah.
One, and your knee and your back was okay?
Everything else was fine, yeah, just my ankle. And then I didn't know how to tell my parents. I was already a bit of a, you know, always out and always like... Mm. So I didn't want them to think that someone had told me to jump off a bridge and I'd done it. So I said that someone's brother... You know when you're trying to be vague, so you go, oh, someone's brother, and they won't know that someone's brother had pushed me in... The duck pond.
Had pushed you in?
Yeah, into a different body of water, into the duck pond, which isn't deep. So that would seem like a funny, jokey thing, which they didn't find funny at all.
But did they believe it?
No, they didn't believe it. And they had to take me to the hospital because my ankle had started to swell up. Erin came in the car with us. Erin found a fiver on the floor as I landed and went to buy some fags. So I was on my own thinking I was blind. And then I got out. She came back with a fag. So we had a fag and went home.
Where
someone wheeled me on their skateboard. I couldn't walk.
So where was everyone else?
They all ran off. Someone came with a skateboard and wheeled me home. Then I had to go to the hospital. Yeah.
Were they impressed or did you not see them? Like, what did you gain?
Well, I thought you meant the nurses.
No, the people
I gained nothing.
Nothing?
I didn't fare worse or better. I don't think they thought that I was a twat. I think they were just a bit mystified that I'd done it, if that
They didn't
makes sense.
Think you would do it.
No. But then again, that's my interpretation of it. And actually, sometimes I go home and people are like, oh, you're the girl who jumped off the bridge. So I don't know if that is neutral, but maybe they're like, can't believe you did that.
Did they ask you to do other things after that or not?
I was generally known as someone who would do jackass type things like that. Like, I was friends with these two guys in sixth form. We all did drama together. We used to put Vicks under our eyes. Has anyone ever done that? It just really stings your eyes. I don't even know why we used to do it. They just used to water. And then they convinced me that in order to stop the effect of the Vicks, you had to put more Vicks on.
So just put loads of like big globs of Vicks under my eyes, and my eyes really stung, but I just sort of didn't care.
Did you think, I don't think putting more on is going to... If putting a bit on is making them really water, how can putting... Did you pass maths or...
I got put into the top set as a result of not taking the SAT, and then I got a C, and they were really annoyed with me because everyone else got A's. Yeah. I just used to trust people. I think that's it. Maybe that's it. I used to trust people, but I also wanted attention and I wanted to make people laugh. And that is quite a lethal combination.
Yes. Trusting people, wanting to make people laugh. And yeah, that's a good fun friend though, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. I think that trust thing is massive, isn't it? Once that goes, you cannot get it back at all, ever.
I think that's true, but I think it's necessary for it to go, actually. When I got let down by someone in a relationship who I just realised wasn't who I thought he was, that was actually a really important lesson to learn, because it meant that I realised what I really valued, and I kind of grew up a bit. But I like to think I've retained some of that naive. I mean, if you told me now that I should put Vicks under my eyes, I probably wouldn't do it. But I think there's an element of me that sort of still goes, oh, fuck it, you know.
Yeah.
But you have to grow up a bit. I mean, not everyone does, but I always remember when we used to go clubbing, there was always like one really old guy. I don't know if anyone else found this as well.
Oh, yeah, the old guy, yeah.
Yeah, like one. Like you were saying about the bikers. Yeah, he's got a piano with him. You know, you were saying about the bikers. I always felt a bit like that when we used to sort of go out when we were like 18 or 19. We'd go back to someone's house for a party and there'd be one guy who would be like, who are you? And he'd be like, I'm Des, I'm 54. We'd be like, what are you doing
are you here?
And he wasn't trying to like get off with any of us. No. He just sort of wanted to hang around and dance. And yeah,
it's funny, I've just remembered actually. I would have been, I think, 16, maybe 16, 17. And we all went to the Isle of Man TT races. And because I was the most sensible grown-up out of all of us, and I'm sure some of them were like 35, 40, they said to me, you have the key to the house and keep it safe, because we're all going out on the lash. And so I put it in a suitcase under my bed, and then we couldn't get in, we had to break in. I was like, you said put it somewhere safe. They were like, yeah, but we meant...
You were too sensible.
I was so sensible. It definitely didn't get lost. No. Aww. And even when they told me, I still couldn't really work it out. Like,
how did
put this in a safe place. And so I did.
You did?
Yeah.
I want to know more about this biker thing. You don't ride a bike now, do you?
So I got my license at 17, had one in Gloucester, and then when I moved to London, I sort of didn't really have anywhere to put one or...
You didn't feel the
money to keep one, yeah. Basically. Because I worked in offices from like 15... to 23, drama school 23 to 26, and then offices from 26 to 42, basically, something like that. It was only when I was 42 I started properly earning money from comedy, so I just had loads of day jobs. But I want to get another one now, but I've got RSI in both my wrists, so I'm not sure about how that
will be. Because it's quite hard on your... Are there any bikers in... I don't think they tend to go to podcast recordings.
Why wouldn't a biker go to a podcast?
I don't know. I feel like they sort of be at gigs.
Oh my God, I cannot believe it.
No. I can't imagine them doing things like eating or going to the toilet. I could just imagine them on their bikes going to gigs.
Yeah, or like having an ice cream. Yeah.
So is it hard on your wrists? Have any been on the back of a bike? Why would it affect?
That's how you accelerate and change gears.
So it is.
Everything is like this. I did a quad bike at Centre Parks. And just thought I was going to faint from the pain of it.
Oh, God, and you've got to keep doing it, otherwise you can't move.
Yeah, and I was doing it, and so you go on like a...
is it quite a gentle...
Like a 40-minute...
Like,
yeah. No, it was really intense, okay. Up and down, and you know, you have to wear a helmet and all. Like an adult's quad bike. After about 15 minutes, I was like, oh, my God. But I had to keep going. And literally by the time we finished and we were getting our overalls off, I couldn't feel my arm and my wrist.
Oh,
I was in such... Yeah,
God.
And I thought, oh, no. I wonder if I could get a bike then that was... No, you can't. Well, I'll just have to try it out.
I think it would be worth looking into whether there was another way of stopping and starting it, like with your voice.
Yeah, but you've got to accelerate still and change gears. My hands froze once. I got caught in a blizzard when I was 17 in Wales, in the mountains, and I was at the back because I had a slower bike to everyone else, and they all carried on. They'd got to Monmouth or somewhere, and I was still in, like, the Breckens or something, on my own in a blizzard, and my hands had frozen. I couldn't ride a bike. So I was trying to change gear with, like, my palm, the palm of my hand, and brake.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so I just had to get off and just wait in a blizzard on my own.
Sort of defrost your hands.
My hands. And then I think someone came back about an hour and a half later or something to see where, because I could have come off or anything. But
this is what always happens to me with skiing, that I'm the slowest. Everyone goes ahead and then someone has to come back to climb up and help me down the red run. Yeah. So I sort of know how that feels to be thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do. But how did you get involved with them? If you ride a bike, do you just meet other bikers naturally?
Yeah. Like, well, when I was about 14, 15, I used to go to the biker pubs in Cheltenham and Gloucester. And I met men. This sounds really bad. I mean, you know, it was all illegal. I remember because my first boyfriend I was with for 9 years, but he thought I was an adult.
Okay.
And so I would have been about 14, 15 or something.
And you told him you were 16?
I told him I was a magician's assistant, yeah. he was, I don't know, in early 20s or something. But I was very, I didn't do anything, let's say that. I was very, you know, I'm not going to, you know,
yeah.
We can be, you know. And he called up once while I was at school. And my mum said, she's not in, because this is like 80, you know, there wasn't, you just had your landline phone. Yeah. And so some bloke phones up and says, is Bridget there? Mum says, no, she's at school. And then he hung up. And then Mum said, a man called for you today. And I was like, I have no idea what that was. And then I wrote him a card. I remember it was a blue card with a white kitten on it. And I said, dear Kev, I can't see you anymore. That's all I put in the card. And I'm like, yeah, in brackets, you know, because you'll be in prison. and visiting hours will be while I'm at school. I would have forgotten all of it. Anyway, yeah, so then it ended. And then we sort of got back together again a bit later. We didn't have relations, who were a missus. And then I was with him till I was 23 then.
So he was a biker?
Yes, so I suppose I was attracted to biker men. Yeah. And the whole thing, the whole sort of lifestyle, going off for biking weekends and being in big gangs, and I was in the motorcycle action group, and they were the Wolves Outlaws, that's what like the local Hells Angels were called, and they were really good fun, and I liked the clothes and and the badges.
It's a bit like brownies, isn't it?
They were nice people, yeah. The brownies, yeah. It's exactly like that. Because we had to put tents up and stuff.
I don't remember the biking badge from brownies. Did you go to brownies?
No.
Actually, that doesn't surprise me because you probably were starting to get into bikes then. It is so the opposite. It's like about safety and kind of routine, I suppose.
God, I've got a memory of being tiny, like possibly 5 or 6, and having one of my older sister's uniform, costume, whatever you call it.
You would have gone with that young.
But if I did go, definitely wouldn't have been for very long. Certainly not by the time I was about 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah. I went to Brownies and Guides, and then when we were in Brownies, someone threw someone else's shoe onto the roof of the brownie hut, and they had to get a local fireman to come to get it down because it was so high. He was the only person with a ladder.
Waste of resources.
I know, and she got kicked out after that.
I'm not surprised.
I know.
Bloody outrageous.
I know. That reminds me of when I used to go to Sunday school. And they decided to play this game, this is around the same time, where everyone took their shoes off and put them in a pile in the middle of the room, then turned the lights off and drew the curtains so it was pitch black. And then the game was you had to find your own shoes as quickly as possible just by feeling them.
Gosh, that sounds very hard.
Well, it was mayhem and someone broke their leg.
No.
Yeah.
Broke their leg?
Yeah, a girl broke her leg from the sort of scramble for people.
My God.
I know. Because if as a kid you're told, do this thing, you've got to do it as quickly as possible, you just go for it, won't you?
Well, I would have held back because I would have seen such a boring child. No, I'd have gone, I'll just let everyone else get theirs and then mine will be the ones that are left.
Oh, that's actually a really good... Yeah.
No, I had no childhood. Yes, I was just watching other people have fun. Where are you going? Why are you going over there? Ah!
I wasn't going to leave you on the stage.
That's at the end. Yeah. That's so cute, that Diddy guitar.
Oh, my daughter's put loads of toys into this. Okay. That's the end. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we'll do the song to say goodbye. The things we do for love. The things we do for love. This week I was joined by...
Bridget Christie.
Her favourite pudding is...
What kind of a loser has one... has one... I think favourites is a very divisive thing.
Okay. Okay. If she had to have a pudding today, it would be...
A French apple tart.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah. a strawberry tart. An apple pie.
Really?
No. A cheesecake.
An American cheesecake?
No, actually a sponge cake.
What flavour?
Coffee and walnut. No, not coffee and walnut. Passion fruit and...
What?
An orange cake.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, all of them.
The things we do for love. The things we do for love. Her favourite dog is...
What is this? I'm not going to pick one dog.
Okay. Her least favourite dog is...
That's equally as... But that's the same as having a favourite.
Okay, okay. A dog she'd most like to stroke is... Doesn't mean it's your favourite, you'd just most like to stroke it.
An Irish wolfhound.
The things we do for love. Thank you very much. Goodbye! Thank you for listening. That was The Things We Do For Love with the splendid Bridget Christie, which we recorded at King's Place. Hope you enjoyed it. Bridget's radio series Mortal is now on BBC Sounds. It's absolutely fantastic. And she has a new tour, brand new tour, starting in September. All the dates are on her website, bridgetchristie.co.uk. That will also appear in the show notes if you want to check it out. Please do go and see her live. She's just amazing live. You feel like you're part of a magical happening. That's the best way I can describe it. My own book is out now. Please buy it. It's a novel about an anxious woman who's trying to make her life better. She has health anxiety and various kind of worries that trouble her. She's also charming, funny, like we all are, kind of flawed, trying to make the best of things. Her partner's cheated on her and she's moved back in with her parents. And she's been given a really shit phone by her mum who's trying to make everything better, but the phone doesn't even go online. So imagine that. So that's called Jane Is Trying, and that's available wherever you get your books, basically. If you enjoyed the podcast, please tell people, please subscribe, please leave us a review, and we will see you next time. The Things We Do For Love was hosted by me, Izzy Sutty, and featured my guest, Bridget Christie. Thanks to the London Podcast Festival for having us. The theme music is by Charlie Jefferson. The Things We Do For Love is produced by Ben Walker for Fuzz Productions and the Internet.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.